We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Well, don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Friday evening. With you for the full four. Asking you to download the Radio.com app. Why? Because we know you're not in your vehicle as often as what you were pre-pandemic state. So you want to listen to the radio station. The best way to do it is through our Radio.com app. Download that on your device. Take your smartphone, your Alexa speakers, your tablet, your boombox, your Coleco, your Intellivision, your Commodore 64, Swatch Watch. I don't know what you got for a device, but just download it onto something. That way you can always catch us on the go. Social media is at 929TheGame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. As always, the best way to be a part of our show, do it through our personal Twitter handles. Reach myself, that's at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That, of course, is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He is in Midtown producing the show, back with us on a Friday. I can't believe it. When's the last time he's been in here on a Friday? Jarvis is in the building. At JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. Lots to get into with you here this evening, watching some PGA Championship right now. Why? Because, well, the Braves are postponed. So, bad weather up in Philadelphia. It was not very pleasant looking up there in Philadelphia. So, Philadelphia game for the Braves tonight, it has been postponed. So, as of right now, the Braves will play a doubleheader on Sunday to make up the game. And as of right now, Kyle Wright is scheduled to pitch tomorrow. Now, I did not see, I was looking at the starters, that there was not an announced starter originally for tomorrow's game. Now, maybe I missed something, but I was looking through and I did not see who was announced, as the starting pitcher for tomorrow night for the Braves, or tomorrow afternoon or whatever. As such, but Kyle Wright now will take the ball. He was supposed to pitch tonight. He will take the ball, and who knows, maybe a little bit of a blessing in disguise for the Braves, at least get one night off. You know, we talked about this 20 game stretch to start the season, 20 straight days before they actually get a day off. So here's a chance that, you know, just maybe kind of get rested and acclimated, and, you know, let's get it cranked back up tomorrow. And of course, doubleheader on Sunday. Well, at least they're playing, right? Because we'll talk about this in What's Bugging Chuckery later. Cardinals are not playing all weekend again. They just canceled, I think just a little bit earlier this afternoon, they canceled their weekend series with the Cubs because another player broke out with COVID-19. So at least the Braves are playing. At least we got Braves baseball to watch. So Kyle Wright He'll pitch tomorrow night for the Atlanta Braves. Doubleheader on Sunday. And, of course, we'll keep you up to date with all of that. So, as I said, watching the PGA Championship here, we will be joined by our buddy Will Gray from the Golf Channel as second-round action here in San Francisco taking place. Tiger's not even through the first nine yet. He and Rory are playing together out there. I think they're on... They had the number 9 tee. I'm trying to see right now what that is. My eyes can't focus that well. Looks like the 8th tee is where they're at, Rory and Tiger. So Tiger's one over for the day. Bogeyed earlier. I think it was the 3rd hole or 4th hole that he bogeyed. So right now sitting at 1 under. Rory's at 1 over. The rumored cut line, and we'll get more confirmation with Will about this. It looks like it may be 1 over is the cut line. So Rory trying to hang on. Of course, a lot of golf to be played out here yet. Trying to hang on and see if he can stay for it all and make the cut line for all of it. So we'll see what happens with all of that. So, but you know, we talked last night about the fact that, you know, they want Tiger Woods. You know, this, look, you got some, obviously, you know, you got some of the international guys not being a part of this, but you've got Justin Rose, you got Rory. Of course, you got the American guys. Phil is here. I think he'll make the cut. I think he's okay. Tiger, you know, hopefully he makes the cut. But, you know, I think they'd like to see some of these guys, you know, these top players, these name guys. And, look, say what you will about the competitiveness of the golf, but at some point you want some of the name value out of these guys. So we'll talk with Will and get his thoughts about it, you know, because this is golf's first kind of real big spotlight. You know, they've obviously had, you know, the Jabroni Open and, you know, the Hammenegger Classic and stuff like that, you know, to this point. But now you get your major. Now's when you want to see your big guns out there. And you certainly don't want to see guys like Rory and things like that, you know, not make the cut, or God forbid, Tiger not make the cut. I mean, you know, he was off to a good start. And I think the leaders are at 8 under now. So there's some big-time scores that are getting shot out here at this course out in San Francisco. So lots to get into with you here this evening. Of course, Falcons as well. Falcons, of course, they are in it now, you know, getting through training camp and things like that. And, you know, we expect next week that they'll actually start to, you know, really get some practice time in. You know, everybody's been making the media rounds and stuff, you know, this week. Been kind of a surreal thing. You know, everybody's kind of in that Zoom bubble and different things like that. Jarvis, have you been up there? You were up there one day. Was it opening day that you were up there? Have you been up there since checking out anything? Have you been up there since the first day you were up there?
No, I haven't been up there since then. They've had virtual player availability since then. But yeah, I haven't been up there since I've been up there.
Are they going to allow media at the, you know, at any outside practices and things like that? Are they going to have like a media section where you're social distance, you know, and all that kind of stuff? Are they planning on having media people up there to at least watch some of the practices? We know no fans are going to be up there, and obviously the press conferences themselves will be all zoomed out. So, but are they planning on having areas for the media to be able to watch practice, even if it's social distance out?
Yeah, it would be there's an area. That's where actually where we were when we were out there, and they were doing like the strength and conditioning ramp up, as they like to call it. We were out. They have an area for us. So yeah, it'd be plenty space and opportunity to do it. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting too, because the Falcons had to make some cuts, because believe it or not, they have to start kind of shaving the roster. I mean, you know, this has been such a weird offseason. And, of course, you know, leading into training camp, it was kind of like, okay, I mean, yeah, we know it's coming, but is it really going to happen? Then all of a sudden it's here, and guys are being tested, and you're getting protocols put in place and things like that. You know, and the Falcons have had to make some cuts already. I think they had to drop down to 83 players on their roster from the 90 that they had. So it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of surreal, because, you know, it doesn't feel like there's this, you know, normal kind of natural progression through training camp of cuts and getting ready for your first preseason game, and, you know, camp is this long and they stay up there for the, you know what I mean? It's like you're used to that regimented type of training camp. And of course, you know, we spend, you know, the first couple of weeks up there in training camp, you know, broadcasting and things like that. This year, it's just kind of like, I don't know, fly by the seat of your pants. You know, it's just kind of, hey, you know, we'll just take it one day at a time and see what we can do and not do, and things like that. And obviously, we know there's no preseason games that are going to be played. We'll talk a little bit later in the Falcons flyover about what the Falcons are maybe going to try to do, as far as trying to get some, you know, some game-like activity in, but no actual real preseason games. You can't practice or, you know, play, you know, any scrimmaging, I guess, if you will, against other teams and such like that. Everybody's got to be at their, you know, their home base, if you will, their home stadium. So some teams that normally travel to other places, you know, they're not going to be traveling. You know, we talked about like Pittsburgh, you know, they're staying right there at, you know, at Heinz Field. You know, when normally they go to like La Trobe and do other practice. It's sort of like the same way, you know, back in the old days when they were transitioning from Suwannee to Flowery Branch, remember? And Dan Reeves, took the team to Furman, right? I think they spent a couple of seasons in Furman doing training camp. You know, you get away and stuff like that. So, you know, some teams that normally do that kind of stuff. I think the Packers normally do that. Pittsburgh normally does that, but they can't this year. So it's got a weird, different kind of feel. And it's going to kind of feel like, okay, here's some practices and here's some things going on, and they make some roster cuts, and then all of a sudden, oh, here's the season. You know, I mean, I don't know that even with training camp happening that you feel like that there's a real build-up or real anticipation. It's kind of like you're kind of like on the edge of your seat, kind of more saying, hey, are they actually going to play? Are they going to play? Are they going to play? And then when week one gets here and they kick things off, then it's going to feel like, oh, okay, well, I guess we're playing football now. Because even though they're out there kind of running around and social distancing and not hitting and they've got masks on and they're just strength and conditioning and they're in the – what did we call this phase, Jarvis? What's the terminology that they're using for this? The acclimation period? Is that what it is, the acclimation period that they're in? I mean, think about that. We're having an acclimation period to get ready for training camp, right? So it is kind of surreal. And, you know, while we watch golf and while we watch baseball and watch NASCAR and wait, you know, MLS is still going on. I was, you know, flipping last night after we got done with the show and saw, I think it was Orlando and Philadelphia, I think, was playing last night in MLS. So that tournament still going on. So while some of this other stuff's going on, you know, the NFL just kind of, you know, going along, doing its thing, trying to figure itself out. And then, you know, all of a sudden it's going to be, oh, well, we're going to play games now. So it definitely has a totally different vibe, unlike anything I can remember. I mean, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head if one of the strikes, you know, because the one strike happened during the season. So I'm trying to remember I'm trying to remember a time where there was a really weirded out kind of training camp and things like that. I guess Mike Smith, was it Mike Smith's last year where wasn't there like a couple of weeks missed or something like that? And was it one less preseason game or something that they had the collective bargaining dispute that they didn't play the full preseason or something like that? I want to say that was like, was it 2012 maybe? That they had the collective bargaining dispute where there was some, you know, some delays in camps and things like that, and delays in the preseason and such. So it is a surreal time for the NFL, but the Falcons trying to get on track and, you know, obviously, you know, trying to figure out, you know, this roster, trying to figure out position battles. It will be a challenge, you know, for the coaches and things like that. But, you know, all of a sudden we're going to look up. I mean, you know, we're headed toward the, we'll be heading into the second week of August already next week. And, you know, normally at this time we should be expecting to see, you know, playoff, or I should say a preseason NFL football, right? Hall of Fame game is normally, you know, your first weekend in August is normally when the Hall of Fame game is played. And then you get into some regular games, and we don't have any of that this year. So it's going to have a really weird kind of ramp up to how the NFL is going to get started this particular season. All right, when we get back, Tukey certainly with a great performance last night, but who shakes out, who steps up among the current Braves that could be starting pitching? We'll talk about that next. This is the John Chuckwa Show, hanging out with you on this Friday evening, Sports Radio 910 The Game, and on your radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back with you here on the John Chuckwa Show, hanging out on this Friday evening. 404-741-0929. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to be a part of the show. Of course, download the radio.com app to catch us when you are on the go or not in your car. And social media at 929 The Game. Also, myself at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. We'll talk to our buddy Will Gray from the Golf Channel coming up next as we're watching the PGA Championship here. I believe Tiger and Rory, their group is, I think they're on nine right now. So I think they're trying to finish up the front nine here and get at it. It looks like plus one potentially the cutoff. So we talked about the Braves and the fact that they were rained out tonight. Play tomorrow, and then they'll do a doubleheader on Saturday. As of right now, Kyle Wright with his 7.50 ERA thus far. Now, before I get into the talking about the Braves starting pitching, two quick things. One is the Braves today put Chris Martin on the 10-day injured list, the IL list, retroactive to August 6th. He has a, and I don't know if I'm going to pronounce it correctly, an esophageal constriction. It's his esophagus, right? Not sure how the correct pronunciation is. And so whatever that means, I mean, something that was constrictive in his esophagus, I mean, that can't be good, right? Don't you have to kind of breathe with all that? But anyway, so luckily the Braves have, you know, more stellar relievers to bring. So luckily for the Braves, Chad Snitker's, another one of Snitker's favorite guys, Chad Sabatka will be up. Now, Chris Martin on the IL. Now, I know I'm nitpicking. I understand. That's fine. We'll play that game. Who's the a-hole? The Braves themselves put out a tweet today. It says, relievers currently in Atlanta's bullpen have combined to throw 22.2 consecutive scoreless innings dating back to August 1st versus New York and have a .93 ERA between the nine who have pitched in the game this season. Okay. Couple of problems with that. Factually, statistically, yes, it's true. What about last night? Did Tyler Matzek do his job last night? No, because he came in with one out in the with the two outs already in the seventh and gave up the single that didn't get credited to his ERA, but was the tying run and was charged to Tukey. So did he come in and do his job? No. Did Chacin, you know, what, a week ago, not even, come in and do his job when he gives up two runs that get charged to Newcomb? He himself gives up two runs, then for some reason is given the ball again to come out and gives up two more runs. Did he do his job? No. Okay. So I understand, statistically speaking, yes, that is factually accurate, okay? But it is misleading, because last night, Matzek didn't do his job. Now, part of that's on the, you know, obviously he came in, didn't do it, but part of that's on the manager as we spoke. Well, as I yelled last night about that decision. Four all-star relievers and closers, and you bring in Matzek in the most high-leverage situation in the entire game. Not Will Smith, or who's back, or, you know, not Melanson, or not Green. So, okay, statistically, absolutely accurate. No doubt about it. On the 30,000-foot view, it was excellent. But Matzek didn't do his job last night. So, anyway, I know, I'm nitpicking, I understand. You know, I get it. And that renowned feared slugger out in right field, Nick Markakis, walked it off last night. So, with that, Kyle Wright goes tomorrow night. Tukey, truthfully, probably deserved better than what his fate was of a no decision last night in that game after a career high in strikeouts for him. Was magnificent, especially early in that game. You know, unfortunately, that's kind of been Tukey's MO, is that, you know, things go well and kind of rolls along. Then all of a sudden, there's that one inning where it's like, well, what happened? And that kind of happened to Tukey, is that he didn't factor in decision. Was he terrific? Yeah, but at the end of the day, he still didn't factor in the decision. Still wasn't good enough that he held him down to get the win last night, which kind of sucked. Kyle Wright, you know, last Sunday, what was it, 3 1/3 or something like that against the Mets, and the bullpen came in, held everything together, and they get the win. You know, didn't give up any runs. You know, Sean Newcomb pitched his tail off the other night, didn't get a win. But, you know, the big key about all these guys is, you know, how consistent can they get to? Now, I thought it was also funny because Mark Bradley wrote an article. Let's see if this is dated today. Yes. Mark Bradley wrote an article today in the AJC in his blog saying, the Braves rebuilt around young pitching. How's that working out? And he goes through all the names of Shelby Miller, Tyrell Jenkins, Max Fried, Fultonevich, Whistler, Allard, Soroka, Toussaint, Newcomb, Blair, Anderson, Kyle Muller, Bryce Wilson, Gohara, Kyle Wright, everything, you know, going through there. Says here, he listed 16 pitchers that they had made moves for. 9 of them are still in the organization. 6 of the 9 have started for the Braves in 2020. So I don't know. I mean, I guess rate it however you will. But certainly outside of Soroka and Fried, we don't feel like that there's a lot of confidence in the moves that the Braves have made with all this young starting pitching. Sean Newcomb's been an okay at best major leaguer. Tukey Toussaint's been an at best, maybe average major leaguer. Kyle Wright, don't even know if he's, you know, even an average major leaguer. Colby Allen, you know, all these guys have done a nice thing here or there. Like right now, how would you describe Mike Fultonevich's career with the Atlanta Braves? He came over in the Evan Gattis trade, right? How would you describe Mike Fultonevich's Braves career? Average? I mean, he's had some moments where he's been really good. He made an all-star game, right? But on the whole, what's he been? Average? Why did my brain go blank? The guy that went to the Angels this year, their opening day starter from the last several years, Jarvis, help me out. Why did my brain go blank on the guy? Who's the Jarvis, the free agent pitcher that left? You know, your guy that's been the starter for the opening day starter for the last 6 years. Why did my brain go? Yeah, Julio Teheran. How would you describe Julio Teheran's Braves career? Was it average? Was it above average? I mean, I know that he was the opening day starter a whole bunch of years, but is he really an opening day starter or just the guy who pitched on opening day? Because that's what I've always said. He's the guy who pitches on opening day. He's not an opening day starter. You know, I think slightly above average at best. So who steps up now? You know, who steps up? Is there another guy? Does Ian Anderson get a look? Does Bryce Wilson start to get a look? Because they are going to need some guys to come in and find some innings and obviously make some starts, you know, for this team. You know, I keep hoping that Tukey Toussaint can put it together as a starting pitching. And I know they've tried him just about everywhere, it seems like, from long relief to spot relief to starter. You know, it seems like he's bounced all over the pitching rotation or the pitching spots for this franchise. You know, of the guys that we've seen, you know, he's a guy that I really hope gets it together, and I think, you know, can certainly do that. Start with the fact that he has swing and miss stuff. If you can get a plethora of outs without contact, then you've got something to work with. You know, if you've already got the ability to get guys to swing and miss and pick up outs without having, you know, any balls in play where, you know, listen, good things can happen, bad things can happen, this, that, and the other, but certainly keeping down the number of base runners that you potentially have if you have guys that are swing and miss. And I'm hoping that, you know, his next start, he builds off this. Because I do think he's the one of the guys that you look at and you say, okay, boy, if he could just kind of harness it all in, we know he's got really good stuff. And look, he's learning. I mean, you know, I'm not saying he's got to go out and be a Cy Young winner or something like that right away. But this year, you got to find somebody that kind of breaks out to go along with Max Fried. You know, last year, you know, nobody would have thought that Fried and Soroka would have been the two guys that they were last year. 30 wins for those two guys last year? I don't think anybody saw 30 wins coming from those two guys. I don't think anybody saw the fact that Mike Soroka would finish third in the National League in ERA, first in ERA plus, or Max Fried would have the record that he would have last year. We didn't see that coming. So, of the guys they have, who do you like? You can text us at 404-741-0929 or hit me up on Twitter at JMCH316. You know, I'm going to say Tukey. I'm going to say Tukey is the guy, not just because of what he did last night, but I think you look at when we start talking about that favorite word that we talk about, right? His stuff. You know, Fulton Nevich always had great stuff, right? But you have to start there. You have to start with some of that he's got great stuff. Because if you don't have great stuff, then he's coming up to throw batting practice at this level. Because guys will tattoo you all over the ballpark in today's baseball world with, you know, very friendly stadiums, juiced up balls, all the different stuff that, you know, is believed to really be helping, you know, offensive baseball because, you know, we dig the long ball and things like that. And we're in an era of lots of home runs and lots of strikeouts for it. You know, we joked about how, you know, the Braves after 20% of the season were leading the majors in runs scored and strikeouts. You know, in the old days, that wouldn't be two stats that necessarily went together, but in today's baseball world, it fits. So I'm very curious to watch Tukey and how he comes back. You know, he's probably a little bit frustrated. You saw in the dugout last night, there was some frustration there. Probably some frustration because he did pitch his tail off, didn't get a decision, you know, in a game that the Braves won, but he didn't factor into that and, you know, certainly could have walked away. You know, they get an out in the seventh inning, there's a definite chance that, you know, maybe that thing goes their way and, you know, you don't have to worry about a home run in the bottom of the ninth to try to walk it off, that, you know, you take care of business and, you know, Tukey picks up a win for his hard effort. So let's see what Tukey does, but, you know, also let's see how many of these young guys for the Braves also get their shot to try to come in and make a name for themselves. All right, we'll talk to Will Gray from the Golf Channel watching the PGA Championship here as action rolls along in the second round of golf's first major being played this year. It is the John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you on this Friday evening. Sports Radio 929 The Game and on the radio.com app. Sports Radio 929 The Game, welcome back into the John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you on this Friday evening. 404-741-0929, that is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. We ask you to download the radio.com app. That way you can always catch us when you're on the go. Social media at 929 The Game. I'm at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. Watching some PGA Championship here out in the beautiful, you know, San Francisco, California area. Looks like it's beautiful weather out there. So golf's first major getting back at least the first major played for this particular season. We head out to the waitfor.com hotline. It's our friend Will Gray, of course, staff writer for the Golf Channel, covering all things here this weekend with the PGA Tournament Championship, I should say, going on. Follow Will on Twitter at WillGrayGC. As always, Will, appreciate the time, buddy. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us in Atlanta.
Yeah, John, good to be with you, and good to have a major championship to talk about. It only took us 13 months to finally get a major on the line in golf.
I've got a strange question to start off with, probably one you probably wouldn't expect to get asked. But we saw a couple instances today where Rory had a reporter that stepped on a ball today. Rahm was upset about, I guess, a cameraman that he thought was in his lie or in his sight line and things like that. You know, these guys get used to playing with a gallery of people. But I wonder if mentally, you know, when you've got fewer people, that what normally may not seem like it's a big deal, now all of a sudden is magnified. Is there, you know, is there something to the idea that maybe reporters have to watch a little bit more than normal because there isn't as many people on, or are guys maybe, you know, having to adjust without having, you know, like, you know, seeing the tree through the fort. Now they can just see that big tree that's out there. It was a weird dynamic today that you had a couple of instances on the course today.
Yeah, for sure. And it happened yesterday. I know Justin Thomas, I think he backed away from three separate shots because he heard, you know, footsteps ruffling, or he heard a camera guy kind of get a little trigger happy with the camera. And you're right. It's one of those things where, you know, you think back to the 16th hole at the Phoenix Open, and you've got 10,000 people in this huge upper deck thing. And a lot of players just try to get the crowd going because it's not the noise. If you have all, if everyone's making noise, it all gets drowned out. It's when there's one person that stands out, or you know, spills a drink or says something out of relative calm and quiet. That's what catches them and catches them off guard. And you might have a twitch or a flinch at the wrong time. And you're right. Right now, when you don't have, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 people lining every fairway and green, it is easier for your ears to pick up, you know, a camera or a cell phone or someone talking in the distance. And so it's an adjustment for everyone. It's an adjustment for the media and the officials that are on site, that maybe you have to be a little more quiet than you normally would have to. And it's also an adjustment for these guys to know kind of how they need to recalibrate, you know, themselves on the course. And certainly, you know, a major championship, it's a little bit different than the last few weeks when they've been playing tournaments, you know, week in and week out, and they're trying to focus a little more. The pressure is up a little bit. It's starting to feel like a major, and some of those guys are getting a little bit of rabbit ears, and you're hearing things that normally you wouldn't hear.
Will, what's the biggest takeaway so far about how this course is playing over these first 2 days?
I think pretty fair. I mean, it seems like this is just what you want from a major championship course, in terms of if you hit the ball well, you're going to be able to make birdies, and if you stray, you're going to make bogeys, and that's all you want from a championship test. And it's fun because, well, fun, I say that as one who's not having to deal with this course, it's 7,200 yards or whatever, but, you know, the rough is incredibly inconsistent. And I think that that's a good thing because, so, you know, so often you'll see guys kind of spray it offline and they know they're going to get a trampled down lie where the fans would have been or whatever. But right now on these courses, and especially this one, Harding Park in particular, it goes from hole to hole where it's like, okay, on one, you can hit it in the left rough and you'll be okay. But if you hit it in the right rough, you're in trouble. And sometimes you get a spotty lie and sometimes you get a good lie. It's kind of the rub of the green. But this is going to be a demanding test, and it's only going to get more difficult over the weekend. They're expecting, you know, some breezy conditions. The greens are going to firm up a little bit. But if you look at that leaderboard, you've got a lot of big names floating towards the top, and there's a lot of, you know, tight spacing where guys are within a few shots of the lead. And that's really what you want at this point, nearing the halfway point of a major.
Writer for the Golf Channel, Will Gray, joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline as we take a look as we're in the middle of the second round of the PGA Championship taking place out in San Francisco. So, obviously, you know, a lot of coverage. We're watching Rory and Tiger as they're, I guess, I hadn't been able to completely pay attention if they finished up nine, they're making the turn, but they're somewhere getting toward the second nine. It looks like, correct me if I'm wrong, one over will probably be where the cut line is. Both guys are flirting with that area. I think Tiger's back down to even after two under. You know, you and I talked about this a few weeks ago when Tiger was first playing in the Memorial. And, you know, I understand maybe you're a guy that's in it, so you're invested and you're in it and this is what you do. But I think that golf, you know, if we were putting the Wonder Woman lasso of truth around him, man, if you've got Tiger and Rory and they're just kind of flummoxing around and maybe not making the cut, man, this is not what golf needs. I mean, this is, you know, you and I talked specifically about this is a chance for golf to have a chance to grab some imagination and some attention for people. And right now you got two of the biggest names in the tournament, even Phil's kind of down toward the cut line that, you know, it's not been real impressive. Can't say that can't change, but it's not been probably what maybe the TV executives were kind of hoping for as we're, you know, headed toward the finish of two rounds of golf.
Yeah, I think every television executive will tell you they want Tiger for all four rounds. They want Rory for all four rounds. Koepka, Spieth, you know, you take your top four or five guys, not necessarily in the world rankings, but in terms of the Q ratings and, you know, who are the crossover, you know, stars and people that non-golf fans will pay attention to when you get these weeks, right? You only have 4 or 5 weeks a year when golf can really shine on a normal sport calendar when you've got these majors. And it's interesting right now, Rory and Tiger seem to be going in different directions. Tiger got off to a solid start yesterday. He's really struggling today, especially on the greens. He can't make a putt to save his life. And Rory struggled out of the gates yesterday, but now all of a sudden he seems to be finding some form and getting a little momentum. So it seems like he's moving up, and Tiger, this is going to be a critical nine holes for him, where he started the day, it seemed like, in very good position. Now all of a sudden he's battling to make the cut, not something you expected coming into the day. But you're right. I mean, it's a great opportunity for the game this week before, you know, a lot of the other sports start in terms of football. And they've got, you know, basketball and hockey going on. But golf can take a big part of the stage this weekend. And if that's going to be the case, you know, all parties involved would like to see Tiger and Rory be as much of a factor as that is possible.
You know, Will, you talked about it with Tiger struggling to make putts. It seemed like yesterday a lot of time in the rough and having trouble getting off the tee. It just seems like, you know, one thing seems to sort of work, one thing doesn't. I mean, just kind of where is he at, you know? I mean, obviously, you know, the Memorial wasn't exactly what he wanted, and, of course, he didn't play, you know, these couple of weeks that we talked about. But, you know, his game, I mean, kind of where do you think he's at with all this? Because it just nothing seems to be real consistent right now.
He's playing like a guy who has only played two tournaments in the last 5 months. And that's just the bottom line, that, you know, you're not going to be able to roll out of bed. Even if you're Tiger Woods, when you're 44 and you've got a back issue and you're trying to play in these, you know, mid-50s temperatures up in San Francisco, where he's layering up and layering down every day, depending on the weather. And you're right, he's just showing a little bit of rust. And there are parts of the game that sometimes will shine for 5 or 6 holes, and then all of a sudden it's starting to go cold. The putter has gotten a lot of attention this week because he's a guy that has his old trusty putter that he's won, you know, all but one of his majors with, a single putter, and he put that on the bench this week. And he said, no, I'm going with another one. He started to tinker with it early in the week, and now all of a sudden we're in the second round, and he can't make it, you know, from 3 feet across the board. So clearly it's on his mind. It's something that he viewed as a weakness coming into the tournament that he wanted to try and shore up, but it's very difficult, you know, when you're going against guys that not only are half your age, but a lot of the top players have already made 5, 6, 7 starts since the tour returned to competition almost 2 months ago. So it's not only that he's dealing with the physical aspect, but a lot of these guys are very, you know, tournament ready, competition ready, and they've been able to work through some of the kinks that very clearly he's still trying to deal with.
Will, from your perspective, so not a TV executive perspective, because we know what they want, but you've got a guy, I would be wrong to even try to pronounce his first name. Is it Wow Tung Lee? Is that how you pronounce it? What is it?
Hao Tung Lee.
Okay, so Hao Tung Lee, you've got a guy seemingly out of nowhere that's leading a tournament like this. From your personal kind of perspective and fandom and things like that, do you think that it's a better story for trying to draw people in to have a guy kind of come out of nowhere that people have no idea who he is? And I think was a 300 or 500 to 1 betting favorite in this tournament? Or is it more important that Tiger and Rory shine versus maybe a nobody feel good kind of story? I mean, what do you think is kind of best right now for what golf needs in kind of this return and navigating through the pandemic?
I think that when you have a random tournament, when you have the 3M Open and Michael Thompson comes out of nowhere and wins, that's a great story. That's a feel-good story. But when you have your biggest tournaments of the year, when you have your majors, you want the biggest stars to play well. So, yeah, given the choice, I think that you'd rather have someone with a top pedigree take the tournament this week and win. But, you know, sometimes we've seen this at majors before. We've seen it at this championship before, where guys kind of come out of nowhere. And Hao Tung Lee would certainly fit that bill of a guy who – he's played well in Europe. He made the President's Cup team last year, but you would have had to go 100 names deep before anyone was talking about Hao Tung Lee for this week's event. And so we'll see how he does over the weekend in a position that he hasn't been in before. But yeah, when you get to these big events, and if you look down the board, the top 10 or 12 names, you've got 6 or 8 guys that you would throw a dart at and you say, yep, that's a guy that I would expect to be contending, or that's a guy that wouldn't surprise me to win. And I would think that more often than not, as we play this out, if you put in the Xbox, you know, simulated 10,000 times, you're going to come up with one of those guys, whether it's Brooks Koepka or Xander Schauffele or Jason Day, Tommy Fleetwood. those guys are still going to come out on top more often than not. And I think that for the where the game is right now, I think that would probably be the better option.
Yeah, and at least Tiger does pick up birdie on 10. He just birdied 10, so he gets back to one under. Will Gray is a staff writer for the Golf Channel, covers all things here for the PGA for us, and on Twitter, at Will Gray GC. As always, and join us on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Will, as always, appreciate it, buddy. Enjoy watching the weekend, and we'll certainly talk to you here soon as you know, golf season just kind of keeps moving right along. You know, give him credit. You know, things are just kind of moving right along for the PGA Tour.
So far, so good. They found a way. We'll be talking soon.
You got it. Thanks, Will. Appreciate it. When we get back, why does it just seem like that we can't get any love as Falcons fans? I've got the newest set of lists that I just kind of read and shake my head at. Can't we get a little bit of love? We'll talk about this next. It is John Chuckman Show, Sports Radio Nights on the Game, and on your radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.